In the name of God, Creator, Redeemer, Sanctifier. Amen. I would like to thank you all for the hospitality that you have extended to my husband Doug and me over actually quite a long time. We have come to St. Thomas a number of years when we'd be here on our vacation time. And after I retired, this was the first chance we got to be regular members. And we have loved singing in the choir. We've loved getting to know folks. And I really appreciate Reverend Kelly allowing me to preach, because preaching is one of the things I miss in retirement. So thank you very much for your hospitality. Today, I'd like to share some thoughts with you about the gospel reading and about that image of Jesus as the bread of life. Being hungry and being fed are among the most basic and lasting experiences of life. They're right down there at the very core of our hopes and our fears. Now, we sometimes speak as if physical matters are not as profound as emotional or spiritual matters. But if you've ever dealt with an eating disorder or an addiction, or just plain old hunger, then you are well aware of how a physical condition, how deep that can run, and how it can actually involve and imprison your entire self. Hunger is one of those experiences that helps us recognize that our soul doesn't inhabit the body like a hand in a glove, that you can just pull it out and they're uninvolved with each other. They're very involved, they're intertwined. So seeing how essential food is to the physical body, and seeing how our souls are deeply rooted in our physical body, it's not so surprising that we use food language and imagery to express many things besides physical hunger. So for example, we say someone is starved for affection, or they're hungry for attention. We speak of being eaten up with envy or consumed with rage. We devour a good book, and we all know children who are so cute you could just gobble them up. Breadwinners bring home the bacon. We all want our piece of the pie, and we don't mean pie in the sky by and by. And if we could, we'd have our cake and eat it too. But that's just the way the cookie crumbles. Sometimes you find yourself in a pickle. Sometimes you fall out of the frying pan and into the fire, otherwise known as being in the soup. And I hope you're not fed up with all these examples. See what I mean? Physical hunger and fulfillment and food can describe an almost endless variety of experiences in life. And hunger and fulfillment are such basic experiences of life that they become symbols and metaphors for life itself. When God fed the Israelites with manna in the wilderness, their lives were preserved. And so manna became a symbol for God's protection and his providence. Through it, God taught them about having faith in God and dependent on God. And I know you remember the story. You remember that they had to go out and gather the manna that day. And there was enough for everybody. But if they gathered more than enough and tried to save it, it went bad. Couldn't be stored up. Thus, the Israelites had to learn to look to God each day for that day's needs. Jesus did the same thing when he fed the multitudes and when he spoke about being the living water and the bread of life. Those lessons are lessons that will never grow old or irrelevant, because while many things have changed in 2,000 years, some things will never change. And we still hunger. We still seek fulfillment. We still have to learn to trust God. And God is still trying to draw us closer every day. Jesus spoke about spiritual hunger and thirst. And I've been thinking about that a lot. One thought that struck me is that spiritual hunger, like physical hunger, can be hard to identify. You know what I mean? When you are hungry, have you ever noticed that sometimes the symptoms of hunger don't seem to have much to do with your stomach? Sometimes you feel empty. Sometimes your stomach growls. You know you're hungry. But then there's other things, like some people get headaches when they're hungry. Some people get shaky, or they get lightheaded. Some people get tired. Some people get cranky. It's not so hard to identify that empty feeling as hunger or the sound of a growling stomach, but it took me a while to make a connection between my crankiness and having skipped a meal. For me, they're connected. When I skip it, I get cranky, and that's part of what makes fasting a challenge to me, and it's part of what makes my fasting a challenge to Doug, who has to live with my crankiness. Perhaps you can identify other symptoms in yourself of what happens when you skip a meal or a couple of meals or are getting hungry. Now, see, I think spiritual hunger can be similarly deceiving. What are the signs of spiritual hunger? I don't think they're always as obvious as suddenly feeling a great draw to read scripture or to spend hours in prayer. I mean, those may be spiritual hunger pangs, but I think they're often more subtle than that. For example, I think that a constant feeling of aimlessness or meaninglessness or a persistent sense of futility is actually a spiritual hunger pang. That's a soul experiencing emptiness. That's a hungry soul. Bitterness or constant anger can be a spiritual hunger pang. That may be a hungry soul that at some level feels deprived or starved by others, perhaps even by God. Fearfulness or anxiety can be a spiritual hunger pang. So can rebellion and defiance. All these things and more can be signs of spiritual hunger or unrest, signs of a gaping emptiness inside that will not let us rest. All of them reveal a soul not resting in God, a soul not being fed. And I think most alarming of all to me is numbness, not caring at all. That's not just a sign of hunger, that's a sign of spiritual starvation. What a bloated belly and matchstick arms and legs are to physical hunger, I think that apathy and numbness are to spiritual hunger. Those folks are on the way down. The problem, of course, is that if we don't recognize the condition, we don't know how to remedy it. You know, if your physical hunger gives you a headache and makes you tired, you may be tempted, if you don't recognize that it's hunger, you may be tempted to take an aspirin and go to bed. And that won't address the root cause, that what you really need is to sit down to a good meal and refuel. When it comes to spiritual hunger, if we don't recognize that that's what it is, we may have a hard time knowing how to remedy it. I think when it comes to spiritual hunger, a lot of us are like newborn babies. A baby may not realize he needs food, but he knows he's uncomfortable, and he lets mom know he's uncomfortable. Many of us may recognize that we are sad, or aimless, or anxious, or angry, or numb, but not know why, so not know what to do about it. Not recognizing it as spiritual hunger, we may try to satisfy our hunger without eating spiritual food. We may blame our career, our marriage, our children, our age, our physical condition, our financial condition. We may try to combat our empty spirit by starting a new career, changing marriage partners, flitting from friend to friend, seeking new experience after new experience. Try a new diet, read another self-help book, go into psychoanalysis. We may anesthetize ourselves with alcohol or something along those lines, or we might try to keep ourselves so busy that we don't have time to notice the emptiness inside. And of course, the most that those solutions can do is temporarily distract us from our pain, because they can't satisfy the real hunger. Only one thing can satisfy that real hunger. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. I'm the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I'm the living bread that comes down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Now, it's not just that Jesus gives us spiritual food, it's that Jesus is our spiritual food. The only solution for spiritual hunger is God in us, filling what St. Augustine called the God-shaped void within us. God created us to be in communion with him. When we fall away from God, we lose touch with the very force that gave us life from the first place and that sustains life. So it's no wonder that without God, we get to feeling pretty empty and pretty hungry. God constantly offers himself to us, but has left a choice to us. God is not going to force feed us. Doesn't do that. You know how special you feel when you know somebody wants to know you? God wants us to want God. God wants us to choose God instead of forcing us. And because it's too incredible for any mortal to approach God in God's infinite perfection and power and omniscience and glory, God became a man, Jesus of Nazareth, someone who could be approached without fear. It's in Jesus that we approach God, and it's through Jesus that God actually dwells in us, if we choose that. Jesus is the bread of life, and our Father in heaven will give us that bread when we ask for it. So we can ask for that bread, or we can go hungry. The choice is ours. And it's offered to us constantly. And just as with physical hunger, it returns if you stop eating long enough, so does spiritual hunger return if we stop welcoming God into our heart, or if we fill our heart with so many other things that there's not even room for God in it. So thank God for giving us spiritual hunger pangs to help us realize when we have gotten away from God and need to sit down at table again. Liturgically speaking, we only have to be baptized once, but in actuality, our lives are full of times of renewal and recommitment. Commitment of ourselves, our souls, and bodies. Every Sunday at the offertory at Eucharist, we do that formally and as a group. And I think that every day we can do it in our individual lives, every day that we say that prayer, every day that we look to God for help. Even those days when we don't know how to put it into words and it's just that sigh too deep for words that we offer up. Every day we choose is a day we're asking to be fed by God. But God is like that man in the wilderness that is mentioned in Exodus. God, it's there when needed, there's enough for all, but you can't store it up. It really is an everyday thing. Give us this day our daily bread, we pray. And I think that's a prayer for spiritual sustenance just as much as it is a prayer for bread to put in our stomachs. Jesus said, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger." So we're invited to a banquet. Let no one go away empty. It's a choice. Don't go away empty. But remember, too, and this is important for us here within these walls, remember, too, that we're not the only ones invited to the banquet. It is a hungry world out there. And a lot of those who hunger don't know what will satisfy the hunger. They haven't necessarily made the connection between the emptiness inside and anything that the church has to offer. We need to do some solid thinking about that. Somehow we aren't communicating very effectively with a lot of them. And yet we have some very good news to share with that hungry world. all of us being in a wilderness, we know where the manna is. That is important information and should not be kept secret. Now, if you want to share it with somebody, I think it helps for you to remember and to put into words your own experiences of spiritual hunger and fulfillment. Can you tell your spouse, or can you tell your close friends, the stories of your discovery of manna in the wilderness? Can you tell them how it was that you are fed by the experience of God in your life, or God in your church, or God in your world? Because, see, if we can't share our stories with those we know and love and trust and who trust us, how will we ever find the courage or the words to share them with anyone else? We need to start with those that we know have the ears to hear the story. This week, in your meditation time, in your mullet over time, I invite you to give that some thought. I hope that you'll think about how you have experienced spiritual hunger yourself and how that hunger was satisfied. And I hope you will try to put your own stories into your own words and to share them with someone. And if you can't do that, if you can't share them, I hope you'll give that some thought too. That's something important to meditate on, because see if you can identify what's the stumbling block. What is it that makes it hard to share the story when there's a world out there full of people that need to hear these stories? If we get to sharing these stories among ourselves, I bet you that we will be surprised, encouraged, strengthened to hear how active God is in our lives, in our church, in the world. We'd remember that God has the ability to provide food even in the wilderness, even in those dry and hungry places. God can feed us there. We need to remember that. We need to tell each other the stories of how God has already done that. And it truly will be easier to tell the stories outside when we start being intentional about telling the stories inside. I say again, let no one leave hungry, and let's make sure everybody gets a chance to hear where to find the manna. Amen.